I apologize ahead of time. I'm still getting over that. COVID pneumonia, and I'm not infectious anymore, or I wouldn't be here. But it's exacerbated my asthma, so I'm a little breathless. So please excuse me if I have one of my coughing fits, which I can't seem to get rid of. We all have our crosses. This seems to be mine for the moment. So I offer it up for the sins of Father John and Father Dan. And as I said to them, I realized that could give me asthma for 5 years, but I'm willing to do it. This past week, the diocese, under the auspices of Nolan Catholic High School, called the principals together and the pastors together, Holy Name Parish. It was something that I've been asking for over 27 years. Could the pastors please get together with the principals and let's talk about the common vision and the mission of what we do? Because those schools, parish schools, as well as Nolan Catholic, is an extension of the local parish. The apostolic work to build up the body of Christ, the church, to educate what the church teaches by way of magisterium, the traditions, the deposit of faith, scripture, and tradition. I reminded them, especially the pastors that were there, that the word pastor means care of souls. And when we are pastoral, that's what we are supposed to be doing, is the care of souls. That part of us that comes into our mother's body at conception, and that which in the fullness of time leaves the instrument of peace or the living tabernacle, because we go to Holy Communion besides baptism and the Holy Spirit in us, that we go to God with the assistance with our guardian angels. By the way, the Feast of the Guardian Angels is tomorrow. And so the thing that we talked about is how pastoral can we be? And personally, I have to tell you, there have been times when I've not been at all impressed with Nolan Catholic. That's another story to be told another time. I found them over the years, past years, much too liberal. It wasn't the students' fault. But with Bishop Olson and the recent principals, but most especially with Mr. Ortiz, who is now the principal, he's got a good vision. It's a Catholic vision. And the vision that he has is to change the culture. Now, I know this is going to upset some people here. You're just going to have to be upset. But after the Second Vatican Council, it seems to me that a lot of people did not get what the church teaches. We missed the mysticism. I was talking to someone the other day who came to see me to arrange a certain celebration. They were not from this city. A professional person she was, went to this grade school and went to Nolan Catholic High School. In a very cavalier way, she kind of folded her arms and put her hand over the back of a chair. And when I had said to her, "And what's your parish like in such and such a city?" "Oh," she said, "I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore. I'm nothing." When the church threw out its mysticism, I left. I said, the church never threw out its mysticism. It has always been there. The traditions of our spirituality, the ministering to the soul. I once had a man in Florida tell me that he left the Catholic Church and joined a fundamentalist church because they told him when he went there that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I said to him, you went to a Catholic school, you were raised in a Catholic family in a Catholic parish, and you're saying that's the first time that you ever heard it? Where do you think they got it? From the Catholic Church. Well, I never heard it. Then you weren't paying attention. Because all throughout our Mass prayers, as well as any prayers that we pray, any celebrations that we have, the proclamation of the kerygma, it's called, that word is Greek, meaning kernel, that Jesus Christ, for us, number one, the Son of God. Number two, he's the Savior of the world. From that kernel, everything else grows and prospers. But I have to feed it, not only with the Eucharistic presence and being at Mass, but also remembering that I do God's will by keeping my baptismal promises, and I often renew them for myself. That I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I renounce the will of the devil who wants to take over my will. This isn't rocket science. It is the basics for a soul of how we live the kingdom of God in a world that belongs to the kingdom of the Prince of Darkness, and we are in a spiritual warfare. But as Catholics, we have all the tools to help us in our teachings, in our traditions, in our mysticisms, of how we are to have the eyes of faith, how we are to conform our will to doing the Father's will, which is a daily tug and pull. And also to realize that we're put on this earth to give glory to God. And how we do that is by using my mind and heart, the instruments of my talents and gifts, to influence the culture for the good. We're not adapting ourselves to please the environment or society or culture. We are countercultural, which means that we have life and everything that flows from that first, and a sense of morality, not amorality or immorality, and everything else that the culture says. We are supposed to be in the world, but not of it, if you will. But that doesn't mean that we're better than, or these people are lesser than. It means, as the body of Christ, the church, we gather to pray for those who are saying this cavalier way, I don't practice, I don't believe, or they've given themselves over to some sort of ideology. It goes on and on and on. You know, we're here to do the Father's will. Oh, how am I supposed to do that? I dip into the scriptures. Ephesians and Philippians today especially talked about that. It isn't just all about me. I also live for the good of others. It isn't that I want what I want when I want it now, and I'm angry with you if I don't get my way now, or you're taking your good old time, or whatever we do in human relationships. In the fullness of time, the Lord's will is done. William Bennett, who was once the Secretary of Education, I think under President Reagan, a Catholic man, says that Catholic schools build character. He got a lot of pushback from that. And character is what we do when no one's looking. And so what we do when no one's looking especially is this dwelling, if you will, in my mindfulness to what God has done for me, is doing and will do, and what he wants me to do for my soul so that I can go to heaven. I reminded the principals and the pastors that the reason for a Catholic school, besides reading, writing, and arithmetic, comes from the domestic church. It is the families and the parents that are supposed to be influencing them in their Catholicity. This is why the domestic church comes to the parish church to be filled up, so that when I go out into the domestic church and how I live my marriage vows and how I treat and respect and discipline and teach my own children has to do with the reflection of the gospel. To loving God, neighbor, and self, and to think not just only about self, but also to be influenced that I am an instrument of peace and an instrument of our Lord. And so I go out and I do good. Which said in the prophet Malachi, well, in the New Testament, in Matthew's gospel, is love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. In the Old Testament, it's quite simple. Do good, love justice, and walk humbly with the Lord. Whenever we put it into that simplicity, it doesn't sound as formidable. But God is a very uncomplicated God. He's a simple God. What he expects is for us to love him and for us to love and forgive each other. And when we find it difficult, and we do, we rely on the grace of God to touch my will. Everything is the will. You know, it isn't often known today, but this is the kind of thing that I, in my time before the Second Vatican Council, cut my teeth on. Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. The sisters of the priests in the Catholic school, not to mention your families, would know this, not only know it and believe it, but pass it on to their children, which is part of our Catholic culture. It's been lost. Case in point. It has been forgotten that the angel of Portugal appeared to the three visionaries at Fatima a year before the actual apparition of Our Lady of Fatima to Francisco, who's a saint, Jacinta, who's a saint, and Lucia, who is a saint. The first two died of influenza about a year or two after the closing of the Fatima apparitions. St. Lucy went on to live as a Carmelite nun and died in her 90s, recently. The angel of Portugal reminded them that every culture has an angel, as well as every human being has a guardian angel. St. Faustina Kowalska, remembering tomorrow's the Feast of the Guardian Angels, said that the guardian angel is always with us to our left side. And whenever the guardian angel is with us, they compel us and prompt us and pester us to forgiveness and doing the Father's will. They are a conscience. The more steeped in sin we are and doing our own will, the more deaf we are to that. Instead of being filled with some humility and realizing, I am weak, so is everyone else. I need God's strength, so does everyone else. So I pray it for myself as well as everyone else. And when we do it as a group effort, where two or more gathered together, conversions are made. Life is changed. Our Lady in our spirituality has said, when it comes to the daily rosary, souls have forgotten that the laws of nature can be suspended with the daily rosary. Change of heart and conversions of soul are done. Relationships are healed. Governments are influenced. That's the spirituality of the Holy Rosary. But what St. Lucy, the older seer, said is that what she realized that she walked away from those apparitions that went from May till October, the 13th of every month in 1917, that there was a certain result of her experience with that angel. But she said, it isn't just an experience with that angel. We too can have that experience with our guardian angels when we are present to our guardian angel, who is always present to us, and say a particular prayer like, angel of God, my guardian dear. Do you know how many people don't know that? You know how many people don't know the Hail Holy Queen? You know how many people don't know? Well, you fill in the blank. And it isn't their fault. It's because it has been neglected, not only by clergy and preaching, but also by, well, again, it isn't the fault of the parents. They didn't get the package. I've often said to people that go to a Catholic college, if you're going to a Catholic college and it has co-ed dorms, get out of there. Get your money back. Because you're not getting the product. That's just indicative of something that the Catholic Church teaching is not going on in that pseudo-Catholic church or school. So this is what St. Lucy says herself in her writings. This is what a relationship with our guardian angel, a sense of his presence, whom we know is always in the presence of God. Jesus said that about our guardian angels when he was talking about little kids. Remember that their guardian angels are always seeing the face of God. At the same time, they're with us, but they're always seeing the face of God. Angel means messengers from God, but you can also send your guardian angel to God. St. Padre Pio said that all the time in his preaching. This is part of our mysticism. This is part of our soul life. This is part of the mystery of salvation. This is part of our supernatural. I can send my guardian angel in the name of Christ to the Lord in heaven, to Our Lady in heaven. Tell our guardian angel in the name of Christ what it is that I want our Lord or Our Lady to know. And then tell your guardian angel in the name of Christ to quickly come back to you. You can also tell your guardian angel to go to the guardian angel of someone in the world that you used to have a relationship with that you miss, or that you harmed or they harmed you. And with a sense of wanting to be healed, an intercessory prayer, tell your guardian angel to go to the guardian angel of that person and whisper to that guardian angel to whisper to that person some message that you want them to know. It is something of the kingdom of God, of course. Then tell your guardian angel to hurry back to you. This is part of our mysticism. This is part of the help of the Lord. The church is made up of the communion of saints, the faithful in heaven, the suffering in purgatory, and the faithful on earth. But at the same time, there are armies of angels who are there for us. That has been lost to the detriment. So when someone says in a cavalier way, "Oh, I don't go to the church anymore," when they throw out the mysticism, I lost interest. Throw out the mysticism. This is part of catechism. This is part of the soul life. This is part of God being pastoral for us in the care of souls. It isn't just about me. It's about us, and we are never alone. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit inside of us because of our baptism, but we have a guardian angel. And St. Lucy said, the effects of praying to your guardian angel and thanking your guardian angel are three. One is given lofty ideals, a sense of purposefulness, a sense of being compelled to go out, not just to stay within. Lofty ideals, it's another name for virtue. One is given an increase in virtue, especially to help vice, which is extent more perhaps than it's ever been because of technology. So it's something that the guardian angels bring to us from heaven, as they always see the face of God, is an increase of virtue. And therein is the relationship in spiritual warfare, because the devil also has an issue to make me more interested and captivate me in vice than in virtue. He's the discourager. He's the sin whisperer. But he certainly is not as powerful as that guardian angel who sees the face of God and brings to us soul life of the individual that they are in charge of getting to heaven. And they are always working and fighting for us. But the guardian angel needs our will to cooperate. And consequently, the second gift is heroic courage. Do you know how that is lacking today? Courage means brave love. Heroic is to be above and beyond. How many people, small thing, were in a restaurant, very quickly I say grace, or someone is saying something about the Catholic Church that is negative. Well, I change the subject, or I walk away, or I don't say anything. There's many examples. Those are just two. Coraggio, brave love. I speak about my conviction of Jesus Christ, who is important to me. He is part of my life. He defends me. I will defend what his church teaches. It doesn't have to be this proclamation of going out with a sandwich board. As St. Therese, whose feast day is today, the little flower, small things with great love. What I especially do when I walk away from that experience is I ask the Lord to bless that person with a sense of knowledge in their ignorance. I ask God to bless them. I simply give them over to the Lord. You do with them what you will. It's called intercessory prayer, because as the second reading says, it isn't just about me. We are responsible for each other's salvation. And where that is done par excellence is doing the mystical experience of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Thirdly, and this I think is the one that would be perhaps most neglected, but the most needed, and we're not cognizant of it, unbounded generosity to do God's will. Do you know, St. John Bosco said, with every six boys that are born, a vocation to the priesthood is given. It's the same with religious life. For ever so many females that are born, X number of vocations are given to them. Why are we suffering from a lack of vocations to the priesthood as well as to the consecrated life? To me, I understand completely. People get in debt. A community isn't going to accept you if you have a lot of credit card bills. The other thing is a community around me. Oh, don't you want to be a real man? Don't you want to be a real woman and be a mother? Don't you want to, and there's this whole culture that's coming at us. How I know I have a vocation to do anything, it is perpetual. It's a common thought. Now that's going to happen whenever I am tempted, an obsession almost with a certain person, or visual anecdote, or memory. But how I know that something comes from the Holy Spirit is, it's not just about me, but it's good for others. What's best for the folks around me, my novice master used to say. Though I go out and it's not just about me, but it's about us. And so to be given, imagine, unbounded generosity to do God's will means I step out of my selfishness. And too many times in our culture, because there is such distrust and such sarcasm or cynicism, it is the state of things in which we live. People are afraid to be generous. What's it going to cost me? Am I going to be hurt? Is this going to be appreciated? That's up to God. To do something in service to the Lord's using me in that inkling or intuition to do something, it belongs to the Lord. And when I do it, it's not meant for me to see the results. That belongs to divine providence. I think of St. Therese, and by the way, again, today is her feast, but we don't celebrate it because this Sabbath celebration takes place over a saint. Today, St. Therese of Lisieux, she's one of my girlfriends. Later on in the week, we have St. Faustina Kowalska. She's also another one of my girlfriends. We have another girlfriend I do. It's Judge Judy. She doesn't know about those first two. But I always admire, she reminds me of the sisters that taught me when I was growing up. Another story to be told another time. Faustina, Therese of Lisieux, Francis of Assisi, on the 4th of this month, founder of my community, all of them had a devotion to the guardian angels to help them and prompt them to intercede with the Lord to do his will in their particular apostolic work. But it's true for any of us in our occupations and the relationships that we want to cultivate for the good as opposed to toxic relationships. So I end with this. There is a movie out that came out maybe 20 years ago. It's simply called Therese. It was by a father and a daughter whose last name is Casanova. I don't know if it's any relation. But they were atheists, French. And it wasn't that they were, in their spirituality, attracted to the story of a soul that St. Therese wrote. No, it was her passion. They couldn't get over her passion that came out in that book, her single-mindedness, her sense of the care of her soul, but also for the care of souls of others, fascinated them. You know, IQ-wise, she was a genius. She could have done anything, gone anywhere. But instead, she showed the contemplative life as a sister of Carmel to pray for priests and to pray for the conversion of hardened sinners. In the movie, it's done in black and white. It is the night before she enters Carmel. She's all of 15 years old. A special dispensation she got from Leo the 13th, Pope St. Leo the 13th, who wrote the prayer of St. Michael the Archangel. She begged him at a visit to him, please let me enter Carmel. He said to her, it's up to your spiritual director. The spiritual director had been against it, but when she went back and talked to her spiritual director, he miraculously changed his mind and gave her a dispensation. It's her last night at home. She loves this place. She's walking around and she does something that we do whenever we're leaving a place where we grew up or we worked for a long time. They show her going from room to room and saying goodbye to each room with memories that she had there. Then she's walking down a hallway and she sees her father's door ajar. What she doesn't know, that we just saw a scene where he's in his bed with a huge feather quilt and he's sobbing. His baby, the love of his life, his little flower, is leaving him. and she will never be under that roof again. And he's weeping in grief. And she's coming down the hall, and she looks in and he straightens himself up. I don't know how they did it, but her white cotton nightgown and his white comforter seem to be luminous in this dark. And she opens up the door. She has a little bit of a candle. And she peeks in and he straightens himself up. And she says, "Goodbye, Papa." And then she backs away and closes the door and goes to his room. And then they show him. And he throws this feathered comforter over his face. And he lets out this heartfelt sob. And he says, "Jesus, your love is ferocious." You see, that's the story of care of souls. That's the story of doing things for others, not just behind ourselves. Because that's what the Father had the Son do. This is ferocious love. He calls us to ferocious love. Ferocious love means to be on fire. As a matter of fact, the word zeal in the Greek, when Jesus is throwing the money chambers out and he says, "Zeal for your house consumes me," it means to bring to a boil. Are we boiling? I don't know that we could sustain such ferocious love. What we can sustain, though, every day is putting one foot in front of the other and asking God to help me. Two words that C.S. Lewis says Jesus can never turn away. To help me, and I pay attention to the promptings of going to confession regularly, be it the holy sacrifice of the Mass. To foster, with the help of my guardian angel, the lofty ideals, the heroic courage, and the unbounded generosity to do God's will. God has already done everything for us. All we have to do is give our fiat to do the Father's will.